Lord, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing. I praise you, God, just for the staff and for people that, and for Sherry, and just to take the time to do this every Friday, Lord. We're so thankful. Just pray, God, that you would do what only you can do. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, I want to welcome everybody to Central today. It is awesome that you've joined us. I want you to pull out your phones, open up your app, take out your Bibles, and I really want you to be find the avenue for you to be able to find what God has in store for you. And so the first question I have is, are you hungry for God's word this morning? I believe that we all are, right? Yeah, amen. We are starting off today by diving into Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52, and then we'll bookmark some other verses in just a minute. But the title of the message is Waiting in the In-Between. And I think as we start diving into that title and that message, and really, you know, thankful, it's amazing how God works when we think about what Pastor Ryan talked about last week, and just understanding what Jesus, the process of Jesus being born and all of that. And I'm going right into the part of Jesus being in his age of 12, going to age of 30. And it's just an incredible thing. So we're going to open up in prayer. We're going to have a great time today. So glad that you joined us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do, Lord. You are awesome. You are great. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for every person that's at Creston campus, Lord. Man, I know that you're doing great things, and I just pray that today that you would encourage them and help them and inspire them, Lord, through your word, God, that they can continue to carry on the gospel message down there. Lord, we pray for St. Greg's. Lord, we know that you're doing incredible things in the recovery, God, that you're opening up hearts and changing lives, Lord. We're so thankful. And for everyone that's watching online, for everyone that could not be here today, Lord, we ask that you just continue, Lord, to challenge them and encourage them to be all that they can be, Lord. We thank you for that. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And so have you ever felt that you were stuck in an in-between moment, an in-between season? If you were going to examine some things today, I think we could all understand that we've all been in those in-between moments. Just when I was in college, I was working on a bridge outfit, building bridges, and we're taking pilings out of the ground, and they're 30 foot long, and they're stacking them 12 high. And one of the things is a no-no that you want to do is you don't want to stand between the two piles when you unhook the cables. Well, I was unhooking the cables, and I was between the two pilings, and this whole stack of steel came crashing down on my legs. And it was one of those things where you're thinking about the in-between moments. Man, I was sandwiched between two pieces of metal. And I'm thankful that everything turned out, but they had to get a bulldozer, they had to put cables and pull the things off of my legs. I was bruised and battered. But God was so faithful and protected me. But those are the things that we are. Sometimes we get in in-between moments, and we don't know exactly what type of situation that we're in. We don't know if it's going to be painful, or we don't know if we're going to be successful. But we've all been there. And if we're going to examine our current situation and our season of life right now, what would you say? Would you say that you're in sickness? You're in that in-between moment of sickness where you were healthy before, you're in that sickness now, and you want to get healed in the name of Jesus, and you're in that season. Maybe you're in that grinding season where you're just grinding it out. You're putting all your effort into it. You're trying, you're giving your best, and you're just grinding it away. Maybe you're in a dry season. Where that dry season where you're not where you were when you first accepted Jesus, and you were passionate. And you're just in that middle. You're in that in-between. You want to get to that place where God's calling you to do new things, but you're just dry right now. Maybe you're in the getting married season. Man, there are some couples I know that are getting married. They're getting excited. The date's planned. The counseling's going on. There's all kinds of great things happening, but they're in that married season. And then you have that waiting for your godly mate season. Man, that's an incredible season for those of you that aren't married. I remember when Cheryl and I first met at Evangel University, we were part of a brother-sister floor, and brother-sister floors meet together throughout the month, and this is November, and so I hadn't seen her on campus for 3 months. And all of a sudden, we were at a brother-sister function one evening, and all of a sudden, there she came walking through the doors, and it was like, wow, man, that's incredible, man. God is so good. And 2 months later, I went and saw her at Christmas, and 2 years later, we got married. It was incredible. But some of you are in that season looking for that godly mate. Some of you are in the raising small kids and teenagers season. Man, is that nuts or what? I mean, you were like, woo, man, I sure wish maybe I had them when they were little, right before they were two. But you're in that season of life, and you're kind of in between trying to figure out what's going on. And then there's those of you that are the empty nesters. You're in that empty season where you have no kids, and all of your communication is now, and all the activities that you're doing is all about each other, you and your spouse, and you're trying to re-identify what's going on and where your calling is. Now, not everything, you're not running the baseball games, you're not running to all these different sporting events, but you're now just doing stuff with your family and spouse. Some of you are in a spiritual warfare season. Man, you're praying, you're reading God's word, you're doing whatever you can because there are things that are happening. Man, you're interceding for things that God's doing. Maybe you've been prepping for our prayer walk coming this Wednesday, and you're setting yourself up. Man, there's spiritual warfare going on. It's deep, it's hard, it's but you're going after it. Some of you are in the test and trials season, where every turn there's something going on. Man, you're taking one step forward and two steps back. Every time you think things are going well, man, something else hits you. And you're frustrated and you're hurting. And you're asking God, you know, where is he? And you're in that season. Some of you are in the growing closer to God season where you're just, man, you're taking steps further. You're getting part of what God's doing. You're growing. You're part of connect groups. You're growing in the different areas of serving and ministry. Some of you are in the debt-free season. Man, you've made some good decisions. You've changed some behaviors. You're saving for an emergency fund. You're doing all of those things, man. You're in that in-between season where you're ready so that if something would happen, that you're able to continue to move forward and do the things that God's called you to do because you have good finances. Some of you are in ministry. You're waiting in ministry. Man, you went the growth track. Man, you found out your talents. You found out your gifts. You found out what you're good at. And you're just in that, you're in that waiting period. You're like, should I go and help with the kids? Should I go and help with the teenagers? Should I go and help on a prayer team? What is it that I should be doing? And you're just sitting there. You're not sure exactly where God's leading you. And you're just waiting in that moment. And the list could go on and on, right? I mean, there's so many things that we can identify when we're in between something. In your notes, it says, one of the most challenging places in life is the in-between moments. It is that place where patience is required and choices are tested. God's purpose is what happens in the in-between, and if we miss it, we just might miss the life that God has planned for us in the future. This is why we look at our living, how we look at living our lives in such a way that we'll seize those God opportunities so we don't miss out. Well, I see glimpses of different seasons in my own life. I was hesitant to the opportunities that God was putting in front of me when I stepped out of full-time ministry 17 years ago. 17 years ago, I stepped out of full-time ministry and I started filling in different gaps where I thought I needed to go. And I was hesitant to jump back in because I didn't want to get hurt. I didn't want to go through that process again. And so for 17 years, I waited, seeking God, but yet at the same time, selfishly pulling away. And during all of that time, God was preparing my heart. He was healing my heart. He was putting me back in the place where I needed to be. And even though I was serving in certain situations and doing certain things, it wasn't where God had me at that moment. And today I can tell you that I'm back in full-time ministry. I'm doing things for the Lord, and I'm being able to make an impact, I believe, that God's doing because of the in-between moments that I had. During that in-between time, God was working in me and showing me how to be joyful and how to take personal responsibility and how to continue to look at Jesus, the author and perfecter and finisher of my faith. And maybe your in-between season looks different than mine. Perhaps it involves the desire for a new career path, in which to you are driving closer to a deeper understanding of where you need to be and that creative dreams that maybe you have. Maybe it involves hurt. Maybe it involves something that you had with your kids. Maybe you lost a child. Maybe there's something going on, broken relationships or desire that you just want to be seen and chosen. And so the question I keep coming back to is, what is God inviting me to learn right now? In this space, in this moment where I am at, in between these two places, a rock and a hard place, where I once was and to where I know where God wants me to be, I'm sitting in here. What is God inviting me to learn right now? What is my purpose? Because whatever the in-between season you find yourself in, you can trust Him that He will navigate it and you'll be able to get through it. And that's the exciting thing about our walk with God. It's the exciting thing about what's happening in our Creston campus and all the other places that we are able to show online around the world. Because God is doing things not only here in Carroll, but He's doing things around the world because He is alive and He is real. So I want us to look into Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. It says, "Then He went down to Nazareth," and this is Jesus, "with them, His parents, Joseph and Mary, and was obedient to them. But His mother treasured all things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." And then if I look into Luke chapter 3, verse 23, I just want to say, it says, "Jesus, when He began His ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son of supposed of Joseph." And then in Mark 6, 3, it says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And I believe that we see it here in Luke. It gives us a picture of the 18 years of Jesus, His life from the age 12 to the age of 30, including why He stayed back. And this talks about why He stayed back on the voyage, why he didn't go with His parents. In those 18 years, He was increasing. He was going forward, carving out a new path, a path that was a path of wisdom, of growth and stature and favor with God and men. The Greek word, I'm going to be a little nerdy today, but the Greek word translated in submissive in verse 51 is huptasso. It's the sum of some kind of significance, which means a place in order or a place under in orderly fashion or to obey. It's significant because its meaning is the verse is identical to the word used for obey that we find in Ephesians chapter 6, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, "Children, obey your parents in everything that pleases the Lord." Even though Jesus stood in a very special relationship with His earthly parents, He was still under the authority of His earthly parents. He was willingly and appropriately submitted Himself to them. And what an example this is for us when we have difficulty submitting ourselves to those that are in authority over us. Jesus gives us the example that when you're at odds with somebody, when you have a disapproval at work, where there's something that's being said, that there's still, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, that there's still opportunities for us to be able to be under someone's authority, even if we don't like it. And it's helping us to learn and to understand that we still have to be in that position. And even though Jesus stood in a very special relationship with His earthly parents, He was still under their authority. He willingly and appropriately submitted Himself to them. Then we look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, that says He humbled Himself by becoming obedient. And so there was another step. There was another action step. He humbled Himself. Now, this raises the question, to whom did He become obedient? Who did Jesus become obedient to? He obviously was already obedient to the God the Father, but I believe this also means that He was obedient to human authority, and especially His parents. And what did that mean for His daily life and the things that He did? Well, we know that Jesus had brothers and sisters. Jesus wasn't exempted from doing the daily chores for His family, and so we see that in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, It says it's full of meaning when you look at individual words and understand their meaning in the Greek language. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The words I want to focus are increased, wisdom, stature, and favor. The Greek word prokoposo, translated in, is about increased. It's a very significant word that comes from two Greek words, pro, which means before or forward, and kopto, which means to cut or strike or impel. So the Greek word means to beat or drive forward as if with repeated strikes, to go forward, to make progress, to proceed. It's rather like having a machete going through a forest and cutting a pathway that wasn't there before. We can begin to realize that this is what Jesus was doing. He was carving a pathway into the human race with his love and with his grace and his mercy. Next, we have the word translated wisdom, which comes from the Greek word Sophia. The little word is full of meaning. It means a person who has skill, tact, expertise, skill in the affairs of life, practical wisdom, wise management as shown in forming the best plans and selecting the best means, including the idea of sound judgment, deep understanding, and good sense. So we see that there's wisdom, and we see that this word increased is coming. We see the word as we think about what God is doing. He carved out a new path in both earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom as a man. And then there's stature. Comes from the Greek helika, which means adult, full age, and maturity in mind and person. Simply stated, Jesus grew physically, he grew spiritually, he grew emotionally. And then we have the word favor, which comes from the Greek charis, which we usually take to mean grace or gift. But it really means more than that, as it conveys the meaning of having favor or goodwill. So Jesus not only found favor or grace before God, but he also found favor among his friends and his neighbors. Simply put, Jesus was popular, well-liked by those whom he had contact with. And I think it gives us a great example of where we are at when we're in in-between situations and we're going through our life and these seasons of life, that there's still areas that we have to have an impact, that God wants us to be difference makers. I say all the time that it's important for us to learn how to be world changers, that there's opportunities that God gives us no matter where we are, and we can see this through Jesus. But waiting in these seasons is the hardest thing to do. It seems so inactive. Sometimes we are just waiting as we tap our feet, cross or uncross your legs, and look at your watch. We know and believe God is at work, but we really wish that he would hurry up, right? I mean, and not to jump on the bandwagon of a pastor, but, you know, just the other day I was at Casey's and I was in a line and the other register was closed and they opened it up and I was next in line, but then four people shifted over to there, and then I had to wait, right? I had to be patient. I had to wait in line. But I think in the process of doing that, that there should be something that yearns within us that's like, okay, I don't have to be, you know, frustrated in that. I can just sit back and be patient, build a conversation with the person behind me in doing that. But sometimes waiting is hard. And then there are other times when there's action in the waiting. Can you imagine Noah, who was told to build the ark? He was obedient for 100 years, diligently doing work, doing everything that God had called him to do. And he did it for what? He did it for rain. Something he had never seen before. He was waiting for the fulfillment of what God had spoken to his heart. And what went through his mind as he was taunted by those around him? He must have surely second-guessed himself. How many times do we stand up for something? Do we stand with integrity, stand with hope, stand in the decision that you have to make, and you hear somebody speaking life into you, and that life that they're speaking into you starts to tear away from your fabric, from that in-between moments where you're at, knowing that you're not where you need to be, but it's not where you were. But you hear people saying things and it starts tearing away. Noah was in that place. He was trusting in God, but yet people were making fun of him. People were saying things about him. Noah was in a difficult place of in between. The in-between may seem like a small part in our journey, but in actuality, it is extremely important. It is a place of faith where you have the opportunity to go higher. And that's one of the awesome things that we have, is that no matter where we are, there are nether levels, there's other opportunities. There are many in-between places in Scripture. Think of David when he faced Goliath, and we've shared that story here. He stood with his brothers and the Israelite army on one side, the Philistines and the intimidating champion on the other side, and the valley in between. Then we see when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, the wilderness was their in-between. Then we have Jehoshaphat, and the Israelites were being charged by three enemy armies. They spent their time in between in fasting and prayer and praise. And they had to do their part so God could do their part. You see, it could have been easy for them just to do things on their own. It's easy for us at times to do things on our own. But we see that while they were in between the challenges of being attacked by the enemy, that they did their part by fasting and prayer and praise. And it says in 2 Chronicles 20:15 that this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. When you do your part, God will give you the directive to be able to go and have the victory. It's an incredible step that we have, that even though we're in between of where we really could be, that we still have value. See, if we don't revalue life as God sees it, then a lot of that which we do will be worthless, and that which is worth more that we'll miss. Much of Jesus' life happened in the in-between. That is in between Galilee and Jerusalem, as he stopped and spoke and healed the people of their diseases, like the woman of Samaria. Some might call a chance meeting, just by chance. But it was God ordained when Jesus seized the moment and changed that woman's life forever. On the way to the Pharisee's house to heal the Pharaoh's daughter, a woman who had an ever-flowing issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was immediately healed. Jesus' goal was to get to the Pharisee's house, but God had an additional plan along the way. Notice Jesus didn't say, hey, I have a schedule to do. I have something important to do. I don't have time for you. Go ahead and make the appointment. Call the church office and I'll get to you as soon as we can. Jesus realized that the Father had a purpose in the in-between. There are opportunities, I believe, all around us if we're able to understand that it's not just about what we need or what we want, but it's where God wants to take us. If we don't live our lives in the in-between, there are two potential outcomes. First, we could miss what God is doing. In one of his in-between times, David wrote in Psalms 27, 13, and 14, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let the heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. See, we need to realize is that it may not be God's purpose that we reach our goals. Maybe God sent us down this path because on this path is where life and God's purpose intersect. God had been moving God has been moving in a man's life for 2 years to make a move to a particular city. The reason was because the type of people he was hanging around kept messing up his marriage, and finally he moved to a new city because it was a lucrative job that had opened up. 6 weeks later, the job ended. Have you ever been there? You make a decision to do something, and then after you do it, then it ends or something happens. 6 weeks later, the job ended. Now he was in a new city with no job and no prospects. He came to the pastor's office mad and discouraged, saying, I came here because God opened up this new job, and now where's God? I don't even have a job. The pastor asked him how long God had been talking to him about moving, and he admitted it had been 2 years that he had been dragging his feet. And so the pastor said, well, let's see. God wanted you to come two years ago, but you didn't. So a job opens up and you came. Don't you see? God was doing through the job opening what you were refusing to do. The man's goal was his job, but God's purpose was his life and his family. It's God's purpose that we should focus on, not just our goals, but to understand that our new goals, the new places that God has for us, therefore it's important for us to hear what God is saying. In Isaiah 30:21, it says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left, I'll be there. When we can begin to realize that God is there. Have you ever been rushing around trying to get something done when all of a sudden you get an urge to talk to someone, which may be God whispering in your ear, be a friend, be my voice, be my hands, be my feet. Now we're all in a hurry to get somewhere or to get something. Amen. I mean, we're in a hurry. But God has a purpose for us. And while our goal may be one thing, God's purpose is in the in-between. Maybe it's telling someone God loves them by you loving them enough to care. Remember that when we say this in Growth Track, remember, people don't care how much you know, rather they just want to know that you care. So we need to be careful, because what we think is our goal may not be our goal. Rather, it's God using our goal to accomplish his purpose in the in-between. Life happens in the in-between, and we can miss what God is doing if we don't live for these in-between moments. So the second potential outcome is that we can negate or nullify what God's doing. In Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. When we're all about making a good impression, we can negate what God is trying to do in our home. We treat our children like little darlings in public, but yell at them in private. We treat our spouse like gold when we're at church, but when we get home, we ignore or berate them. We might call it an image management. While trying to look good in one way, we cover it up with something else in another way. Maybe it's even something small where you talk on the phone to a friend, to a mentor, to someone that's encouraging you, or you're trying to encourage them, and the kids are going crazy around the house, and you give them that death look, right? Right? It's like, they can't see it. When we negate what God does on Sunday by the way we live in between Sundays, if we have a sucky attitude during the week, then we're negating what God is doing in our time together at church. We can kill what God is doing if we're not living for those moments in the in-between. You see, we can see this in the mission outreach that Paul and Barnabas had. Barnabas agreed in Acts 15. He agreed to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them earlier and had not shared in their work. Paul's goal was to go and reinforce and encourage the churches that were established on their first missionary journey and to move forward in evangelism and missionary work. But Paul was more interested in the goal. Why take Mark? He just caused confusion and more work for them the first time. But this was an in-between moment. Unfortunately, it caused a split between Paul and Barnabas, and Barnabas took Mark, and Paul taking Silas, each going on their own ways. But because Barnabas was living in the in-between, Mark became a valued member of Paul's team later on. In that last letter to Timothy, Paul not only requested for Luke to join them, but also Mark. So we need to be careful not to miss or nullify or neglect what God is doing in our in-betweens. Let's take a moment and look at what happens when we live our lives in the in-between. The first one is it can change lives. Our lives can change. The Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus to put the Christians who lived there in chains, to take them to trial, to kill them, to do whatever he could. But that was his goal. But on the way, as he was in the in-between, God met him and changed his life. See, there are things that are going on in your life that are maybe destructive, that are hurtful, that you're willingly wanting to do. And we see here that even in those in-between moments, that God is preparing you for a miracle. God is preparing you to have a transformation. God is preparing for you that no longer are you going to be in the way that was lost, but God has something great for you in the future. It was when Paul was on his way that Jesus met him and changed the course of his life. When we understand that even though we may be in an in-between crossroads, that there is something great coming. There's something great coming. The second thing that can happen when we live in the in-between is that our lives can be healed. A lot of healing happens when we follow God's path and purpose. When we're living life in the in-between, we can have our lives changed and healed. This is what happened to the 10 lepers. Jesus healed them, but he didn't immediately see their physical manifestations of it. Jesus tells them to go to the priest, and where they were the only ones who could pronounce them cleansed. And look what it says in Luke chapter 17. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. See, the only one that came back to give God the glory, the other nine didn't realize that God wanted to do the healing. Their goal was the physical healing, but God's purpose was for them to be spiritually healed. So they missed and negated what God wanted them to do. Don't miss what God wants to do in your life. To the one that came back, Jesus says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And so there are three challenges for living in the in-between. Number one, wherever you are, be there. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever God has placed you, that's where you need to stay. Stop trying to get out of where you're at. Yes, there are moments we have to take steps of faith and we have to be able to get out of that area that maybe it's destructive and it's hurtful. Yes, take those steps. Make do that. But there's moments, though, in the same way that God wants to use where you're at to be able to get you to where you need to go. And you have to go through that season in order to be able to see where God has you to go. See, back in Gideon, I was doing some study on Gideon too. You know, Gideon had all 30,000 Israelites to form an army to go and defeat the enemy, the Midianites. And God says, that's too many. And he gave him all these different steps to take, and finally gets down to 300. Because God knew that if they had 30,000 soldiers, the Israelites would think that it was me that did it. It was all me. But when there was 300 taking on this vast army, and they won, and God defeated them, it was all God. Wherever you are, be there. Let, in 1 Corinthians, it says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Paul was saying that if you were called while a slave, then remain in that position. But if God makes you free, then use your freedom for him. In other words, if God has you here, then be here for God. And if God takes you someplace else, then be there for God. I wonder how many miracles and how much God's purpose have I missed because I went somewhere else. I may have been there physically, but was I there mentally? Was I there spiritually? Wherever you're at, no matter what in-between moments that you're facing, you're there for a reason so that God can set you free and prepare you to be in the place of maybe healing somebody else. Number two, don't allow the hurriedness to be your priority in your life. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. While we're all busy, I think we can all agree to that. One way or the other, that we are busy. When we're hurried, we end up missing what God has not only for us, but also for others. There are times when we get in a hurry that we forget the miracle that he wants to do. We never want a doctor to be in a hurry. We don't want to, you know, we wait for 45 minutes, an hour, nothing against you doctors that are there, especially in Creston. We love you. But we don't want to wait 45 minutes for a doctor appointment or eye doctor appointment or any type of an appointment, only for them to come in for 5 minutes and then say, all right, you're good, and not really know why. We want to be able to understand. Most accidents happen because we are in a hurry. I don't know about you, but I would like to cause an accident at times when I see someone looking down at their phone when I'm driving by them. Just jokingly, but it's like, dude, you're going to cause an accident. Get off your phone. By the way, if you haven't seen the Screen Strong live stream that we have, we'd love to give it to you to understand what that's all about. Side note. This also happens in our relationships, so we need to slow down and give a little more time for God so that we can give a little bit more time to those that need the love. We are all people that have a task-orientated lifestyle. No one or the other. No one is better than the other. So what we have to do is find a healthy balance between both of them. The balance between task and people can be seen in what Paul tells to the Ephesians. When we talk about Ephesians 4, but point number 3 says God's purposes are found in the in-betweens of life. And in Ephesians 4, it says, walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all the lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. In other words, while you're fulfilling the task God has set before you, not to mention our work, we are all the same to bear other people's burdens, because God knows we need each other to fulfill that our calling in other people's lives. The person that you're sitting next to today, the person that you're going to eat lunch with today, the person that you're going to pass going through that door, God may be calling that in-between moment right now for you to be ready to speak to them, to encourage them, to help them. God's purposes are found in the in-betweens. And so we are on the journey of faith. Let's seize those opportunities that God has put before us, place it on a path, and start living the life that God has planned for us where we're at. In the waiting in between our problem and the promise, nothing has changed. God still cares for you, and he still wants to rescue you. See, it's easy for us, for those of you that are on the outside, you're not in the in-between. We think, okay, then I don't have anything to worry about. But yet at the same time, are we taking these steps to understand that there's people around us that are ready to be touched, that are ready? God's going to use you in those moments as well. And praise the Lord, in the waiting, there is purpose. Waiting time is not wasted time. While you wait for God's full deliverance, he is changing you. He is making you into someone new, not just healing your body, if that is your request, but he's also healing your mind, your will, your emotions, your motives. He's helping you through those difficulties that you're facing. Many times we want him to immediately deliver us, and he can certainly do that if he chooses. But sometimes he chooses to work in our waiting instead of rushing to the answer. Because a lot of times if we don't spend the time in the in-betweens, we miss the precious gift that God has for us. Therefore, we are not able to minister to someone later because we don't have that in our midst. Your in-between times are moments where you can, where God can build something new, fresh, and something wonderful. In Isaiah 43:19, it says, "For I am about to do something new." Amen. Isn't that awesome? See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. God is beginning to do something new. So what's the point in the in-between? Is God at work in us while we are in the middle? And the in-between looks like repentance of sin, meeting with the church, sharing the gospel, and keeping our eyes set on heaven. Our journey is one of mountains and valleys, to be sure, but our journey is also about placing one foot in front of the other on that narrow path that Christ has went before us, trusting that God is present and active in everything that we face as we go through our in-betweens. The gospel is good news for lost things. It's a story of Jesus who welcome sinners and eats with them. The Greek word for welcome means to seek out. Seek out the sinners, seek out the wounded, seek out the maligned, seek out the lost. He is active and restless like a good shepherd who will leave the 99 sheep in the wilderness to seek the one. To seek the one that may be you. Like a woman who opens the house looking for a single coin. It was who Jesus was. It is who God is. God is love, and that tirelessly looks for whatever is lost. Seeing that in time, one far away might be a misfit, might be a cast off, might be a sinner. A sinner beyond reach, but one beloved and valued worth going after. One that's willing to go through the in-between moments that we face each and every day to know that God's got a purpose for me while I'm here so that I may be able to get to where he wants me to go. The one who is so overwhelmed with grace and learns that there's no losing the standing invitation, no distance you need to travel to access it, no earning it back with your words or your actions, no cleaning up your life before God will greet you, no condition on the love that is always there. There's a temptation to look at our current state and ponder, how could God possibly be at work in the situation that I'm in, the failure that I feel, the destruction that I've caused? We don't see growth. We don't see change. Nothing is different. How dare we diminish the work of the Spirit to which is visible to the human eye? What we do know of God's ways and his plans and his sanctification is that God wants to set us apart. He doesn't want us to be the same today and tomorrow. But he wants us to be new. He wants us to be alive. He wants us to be real. So we must trust that in these in-between days where we can't see God at work and there's not signs that he's turned his back on us, but signs that he's working in the ways that he will be there, breathtaking on the other side of this life. God is prepping an absolutely incomparable, eternal weight of glory for us, that when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, there is a glory that begins to happen. And angels begin to sing. Let's pray.